This is episode 78 of Standing Out. Standing Out is a remarkable interview-style podcast with the intention to highlight women and men making outstanding contributions in their field. This podcast is generously sponsored by Think Global. Think Global is a business advisory firm working with women entrepreneurs around the globe to scale their businesses to the next level. Today, I'd like to welcome Laura Wilcox. As CEO of Service Made Simple for almost 4 years, Laura enjoys the opportunity to work with some of the brightest in the business to couple the stability of best practices with the innovation of best fit and agile change rollouts. Whether it be partnering with key individuals, client leadership, or channel partners who want to provide greater service to their clients, the focus is always on delivering value. With 25 years of experience in providing successful IT services for clients and their business customers, specialized in CIS systems and analysis and development, and a bachelor's degree from California State Polytech University. Laura, welcome and thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure, Trina.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit. So you started Service Made Simple about 4 years ago. What were you doing prior to that?
I've been in the technology space forever. So since college, I got my degree in computer technology. And at the time, one of the first women in the field.
Oh, wow.
You know, there weren't a lot of us.
Yeah.
And somehow or other, I don't remember how it occurred, but I ended up writing sales versus coding. So I started in the hardware space, went into software, went into services. You know, as a woman, again, you're searching for which feels right.
Right.
So services is more the people focus. So I stayed in sales selling professional services. And that's how I got started in the technology space. So I had been selling professional services, projects, IT consulting, as people would call it,
mm-hmm.
for over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So I was wrapping up one opportunity when, so how we actually started was one of the consultants that I had worked with for 20 years, you know, we were just talking about longevity in the industry,
right.
Katrina, your event in 7 years, you start knowing people, right?
You do start knowing people. Like, hey,
someone knows me now.
Yesterday, there was a man, his name's Andre. I met him probably 5 years ago, and I walked up to him and said, Andre, I don't know if you remember me, but you really made a great impression, and thank you for, he helped me with something. I said, thank you for that. And he's like, I absolutely remember you. I have no idea what your name is, but I know your face, you know? So you start knowing.
I know what you told me. I wish sometimes I was better at remembering the names to the faces.
I know. It's
you know, you are, you know,
yes.
Tom, Dick, Susie.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, so the consultant came to me. She is a good friend of mine and a partner. Her name is Cheryl White, and Cheryl White is a published author. She's just amazing. So she came to me and she said, look what I did over the last 10 years. I've created products and I think you should sell them and start a business. I was like, okay.
Okay.
I mean, I can sell this.
And did Cheryl not want to sell? She wanted to create.
Oh, no. We are the yin and the yang.
Oh, that's
she
amazing.
Is absolutely brilliant, thought leader. She can consume 2,000 pages of information and make decisions in 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I'm the one like, hi, would you like coffee?
Yes.
Can I be your friend? I mean, being facetious there, right? But at the end of the day, I have become such, my joy comes from becoming such a close friend to my clients.
Yeah.
That they can honor me with what's going on with them, what's going on with their life, where they want to go, and I can help them. We can talk more about that, where I think it's important that that's part of our brand.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is my brand, it's who I am. So she brought this to me, and we call ourselves, kind of our slogan is process reimagined.
Okay.
So in the business stage, in the business place, there are all kinds of processes, and they usually take forever and cost millions.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have done is we've said, you know, companies are wasting money left and right. They're not being competitive. They're not being efficient. So what Cheryl had done is she had taken all the industry standards, all the thought leadership in these variety of spaces and created them. So they already exist. So when I walk into a customer, I'll give you an example, Texas A&M. So Texas A&M called, they have a whole bunch of campuses, right? And their IT department, first of all, nobody really likes IT.
Right.
I always laugh. We are like, you know, you got the dog. We call everything kind of a dog. You got the, and I love dogs, no problem. The nose to the head is the customer relations, right? Okay. That's the fun stuff. You know, that's the stuff that you do as well. Then you get into the body is the head is the business. They're describing their needs. Okay. And then IT gets to build it and the tail gets to support it. And these poor people at the tail, no matter what happens, they are whipsawed in every single direction. We are trying to help the people further down that body and that tail. And so when we walked in, Texas A&M, okay, was in the middle of the body where the hind end was shaken. And they're like, we don't know what the business wants. What do we do? Well, we were able to take a standard that is, you know, thousands of pages and put it into something very concise. Here's your form. Fill this out. We can make you successful. So the minute we start, we already have your answer in a box. Wow. Now we're not going to give it to you. Just like you can't give me your marketing plan because I'll fail with it unless it's customized to what I do. Mm-hmm. So we now customize with a thought leader, and our thought leader has 40 years experience on average in the space. Wow. So not only do we have good stuff, we have smart people who can help the leaders move quickly. We get everything done in 90 days and then we leave. So
and
we walk in.
People in the tail are like, oh, thank you.
They're running closer.
Sit down and stop wagging, right?
Versus, and then the closer we can get them to that relationship with the head and the business, well, of course, the happier they are because now they absolutely understand why the business is doing what they're doing. And that is a goal that, you know, the IT has been trying to get to for years. But unless the tail's really good, no one up here is going to talk to them. So that's what we do. So I had no idea what a process was. And it's taken me, I think after 4 years now, I get it.
You get you know what you're selling. That's funny. Tell us, because you are so great at that relationship building aspect, tell us about that. So I know you made a joke, like you asked, can you get them coffee? But you do so much more than that. So tell us, like, I don't know if they're tricks or they're just kind of you know, in some ways, I think. But tell us what that is. Like, what do you think you bring? What magic do you bring to make that relationship special?
I'm sitting here looking for a book and obviously having no luck.
Yeah. It's somewhere around.
That I had mentioned, and we you can post it later, mm-hmm. but it's the book on Are You Your Brand?
Oh,
and I read that and it really helped define who I am better. It actually put a word to what I do. And I'll use that as an example because we have a lot of new entrepreneurs. So we go out there and think of Nike. Okay. Mm-hmm. Think of Nike, think of Reebok. All right. So now Nike doesn't talk about the details of their shoes. I mean, I can't even think the last time I actually heard Nike say what they define.
You're right. I'm trying to think of like Great Tread or.
Yeah. Versus a Reebok or one of these, you know. So what happened is Nike took their brand. And so this book is about your brand has to be why your company is founded, not discussing your product. So the more studies Nike did on their clothing and their shoes, people didn't care about the design. They cared about how it made them feel. Could I be successful? Could I do greater things? So Nike's brand, as we know, they have a new one now, but it used to be Just Do It. We love the ads and we don't flip them off right away because we're watching people being pushed in wheelchairs who are running and excited. And it's amazing.
It is.
Okay. So my brand is I help my clients, most of my clients are IT leaders, be better leaders. So whatever that takes. So when I started thinking about that and thinking, what does being my brand mean? It gave me permission to not just talk about process. I can talk to my leaders about business transformation, what they need to do to be a better professional. Have they read the latest book, which of course they have no idea what it is because they're too busy with their day jobs.
Sure.
So my job, I always laugh, I'm the fast food restaurant, I just hand them sandwiches as they run by. And the sandwich is, hey, have you seen the latest and greatest about what Zappos is doing? Have you seen the latest and greatest about what YouTube is doing as a disruptor? Okay, so that's my job. So I actually look at our company's goals and our thought leaders' goals of being that consistent education source for the professionalism. And it's if I make the leaders more successful, they're going to save their companies more money. They're going to ultimately have fewer layoffs. Because, of course, our goal is to make the world a better place. You know, just like...
just a tiny little goal.
Yeah. No, by the way.
Just, I feel like sunshine and rainbows are coming out of the earth as, you know.
Yeah, but our way is keeping those people's jobs who have just been doing that tail and hanging on forever. Well, and they don't know what hit them.
And what's amazing, one thing I really... spoke to me when you were talking about, and now I can talk about those things that are going to help them transform from a leadership position. What I'm also thinking is, I bet in their companies, they are getting so much about process and the product or whatever the service, whatever it is they're providing, but they're probably not getting that leadership piece. And so I think that's really incredible that that's how you interpreted the Nike story and example. And I feel like that has infused so much of you into the company. And I love that you felt it gave you permission to talk about this other, you know, other thing rather than all the details of the process.
So one of the things that I do, and I am honored to be a part of, is I work with what they call members in transition,
okay,
IT executives. And again, this will be my last discussion on this point. It's just that it's really important to me is, you know, you have an executive, consider in our generation, consider our dad.
Yeah.
You know, they've been out, they went away to work, they did their job, they came home with the check, and mom did what she did, okay?
Right.
Now, things have changed now, for sure. But they're suddenly unemployed, and they don't know why, and 90% of the time it's politics. So I'll see these men, and they're like, my wife doesn't understand. Well, they have coaches at work. When they hit certain levels, they have coaches on how to be great VPs or CIOs, okay? But that doesn't tell them how to be a person, and how to understand how these things are going to, again, knock them around. So I try to be there just simply to say, it's not if, it's when.
Oh.
Anyone at this level, it's when. Tell your wife, you haven't failed. Nothing's happened. It's when.
Oh, that is a lesson.
Help them get moving again. And what does moving mean for them? And most of them haven't been in that kind of situation for a long time. And so that's just a byproduct of what we do with our clients that, again, honor us with opening up.
Right.
You know, it's like you, Katrina, if a client comes to you and say, I want this little box, all you can really do is give them that box.
Mm-hmm.
If they lay it all out to you, you can now be creative and use your strengths to solve it.
Right. And that is such a difference in when we thrive or when we feel like we're constantly hitting our heads against the wall. You know, when we're in the box, it's harder. But if we have the freedom to try these other things and do these other things, we do so much better.
Yeah.
That is such an important point. It's not if, it's when. And I think the group of people you're talking about, that's absolutely relevant. I think it's also relevant to a wide range of people, because in this day and age when we're seeing things on social so fast, like millionaire overnight, and this company just raised like $37 million, and we feel like we're lacking and we're behind, I think it's important to also realize that that was like decades and years and decades in the making too. That didn't happen
yesterday. And we don't see when they lost the 36 million.
Yeah, you don't see that. They don't say we lost
the 36. You look at these and you look at those statistics and you're like, oh, I thought just everybody was getting free money.
No, someone told me, even I think it's Airbnb, they ran out of money at a point early on, and they started selling cereal boxes. They packaged them with a Republican or Democrat label and went to a political event and then sold the cereal boxes and got, you know, another 30,000 or something from these cereal. And it's like, well, okay, you know, that's another story people don't really know. We just know Airbnb's huge. They did great. And we don't know about those trying.
And they have different things. And again, you can't quote me on, I'll say I'm 50% right.
Yeah.
That Amazon may or may not be profitable at any given point.
Mm.
Well, the problem is companies like Walmart, who have all the staff and have to pay all these things, and their stock market requires they're profitable. So a lot of these startups and disruptors aren't making money. They've got their money from the loans. And we as entrepreneurs look at that and say, wow, they have to be just amazing.
Yeah.
They're not held to the same sort of level that we are.
Right, right. No, I get that. Tell me, how do you recover from a tough day, assuming you have tough days like we
all? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, I haven't learned how.
Right.
I was listening to some of your podcasts going, okay, well, that's a good idea. I really wish I drank more because I think that would help. But so it's like, go for a brownie. You just take it and lather all over.
That's where brownies do wonders. Several brownies.
The other thing is, and I think one of the toughest things about being an entrepreneur is I have an incredible team. So a tough day for me would be we're not to the point yet where every opportunity doesn't make a difference to us.
Okay.
So if we're banking on an opportunity, and it could be literally, and it doesn't happen, it's bad for us.
Right.
So it's my job to still be the evangelist for the team and let them know they're okay. At the same time, convincing myself, I know we're okay. So invariably, I have to usually just sit down, and all I can do is I can't do anything that's usually involved the phone, calling more people, meeting more people. Sure. Now, sometimes just having a lunch appointment already scheduled is great because I'm out with my client friends, sure, right? Building that friendship. But if not, it's go to something numbing, like, what's my next mailing campaign? What is going to get me out of the space I'm in to be more successful, but isn't going to require that, you know, I can break down and cry over here in the corner that somebody's going to be obviously seeing it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, and I think that's hard for, I mean, so many of us, we're in that space too. Each client matters to us. We want to keep them for as long as we can. And we want to work with them. If we've gotten to that point of we're a good match for each other, here's the proposal. We want them all to close. They don't all close by any means. So I think that's a really important reminder to focus on what can you do right now? How do you keep that? How do you keep that trust and faith that, hey, it is going to be okay? Like, something will happen soon. And we just had that last night. We had a prospect kind of fall off for a couple weeks, and we thought for sure we were closing them a month ago. Haven't heard from them. And then today we have another conversation with them. It's like, timing is such a funny little thing.
So two of the things that I've learned in that regard. One is, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and they say it's 12 touch points. It really is. I'll have people disappear. I have someone I just did a proposal for that I've been talking to for a year and a half. He didn't call me back in 6 months.
Yeah.
But I thought, I can either take that personal, or I can just say it's a statistic thing.
Yeah.
And the more that I know my executive clients, the more I realize they will ping, as long as you're in touch with them, they will ping you when they need you. They're not going to ping you in between.
Right.
The second thing that helps me when we talk about proposals, and it's really made me feel much better, when I do proposals, I mean, our average deal can be anywhere from 28,000 to 5 million. Okay, you're talking number ranges, right? In that regard, you used to give the proposal and then you'd hold your breath.
Right.
Okay, so one of the things that I would recommend to people, now I do what I call an alignment document, which is, here's what I've heard. And I've started advising other companies I work with, don't give them a proposal that I can automatically be offended by. And when I say that, as a vendor, we never want to miss the mark.
Right.
But you may have thought, I said I want this massive plan, and you give me a proposal for $30,000 when I have three. I didn't say it right. You're smart enough to know what you need to do. I didn't. My requirements weren't sound. So what I do is I put out this draft, and then I talk about it with the client. I said, here's what I believe I've heard.
Oh.
And here's what I think you want the proposal to say. Here's the people I think will be involved. Who do you want to have be our boss? Who do we take orders from? Do we know if we're on-site or off-site? Do you know I work part-time? I don't work for you. So I have because no one client can keep us busy enough because we're just that fast. Okay. So by the time this is done, we pretty much, and we have the start date on it.
Oh, that's amazing.
We pretty much know that when the proposal, and we ask them, what advantages brought you to us, and or have you considering us? So we do that purposely so that that's what we fill in on the proposal, and it's their words. So by the time I get to a proposal, there's a high likelihood, unless something's going on with the company financially, et cetera, that they're choosing us. That has given me, again, that tremendous amount of freedom to not sit there and go, oh, have I done the right thing? Have I missed it? They're not calling back. Have I insulted someone? Have I lost the sale? I don't run into that. And you don't pre-deliver that draft. You deliver it to them over the phone or in person when they're on the phone with you. So you can talk through it right away. Saves a lot of grief.
Oh my gosh. I hope we all use that. I just took a bunch of notes. I'm so excited.
I had had a proposal for a traditional business line of like finance, and by the time they were done, I just threw it out. I'm like, I don't need your 9 pages. You missed what I needed, and yeah. I don't know where to start to re-explain. If they had right. come and said, hey, here's what I've heard, here's your goals, here's where we help, we could have easily fixed the problem.
I love that. All right, as we wrap up, my last question is, as a thought leader, how are you staying on top of, what are you seeing as a trend in your industry that you think we'll all be talking about in maybe a year or so from now?
I think the trend, well, just a fun trend. So we're in technology. And if you haven't had a chance to read Costco's monthly newsletter this month, it talks about trends of technology in agriculture. I mean, they're going to put a head of lettuce on an interior building, and within 5 weeks, the conveyor belt will move it to production. It has all the soil testing that are done to do whatever fertilizer needs it, et cetera, et cetera. That's technology. Nike now. So everywhere you look, we're going to have technology. Nike's going to have chips in their shoes, chips in their clothing. Now they have to decide, do they have a store like T-Mobile? I mean, what if the pulse rate monitor in your cycling shirt goes out?
Interesting.
It's a whole new business that nobody's ever thought of how to support. Right. Again, that dog back here that used to be locked away supporting IT now has to be a customer service center. Every touch now has technology. The most recent thing I just read this morning, again, so I read constantly and I read everything I can get my hands on, because again, I want to help my educate my customers, and I want to educate myself. Like, I see your kitty in the back.
Yeah.
Okay. You can actually have an automatic cat nibble dropped out now from Alexa.
Oh my. Wow.
So everything that we know will be touched by technology. Yeah. So I think that's going to be fun. Including the flights to Mars, all these things are happening. The world is just going to be a very different place.
Oh, that's so inspiring, though. Laura, thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time, Katrina.
You're welcome.
God.